السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. السلام عليكم.
أبا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
نبدأ.
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is الداء والدواء by الإمام ابن قيم الجوزية رحمه الله أبو عبد الله محمد ابن أبي بكر رحمه الله. We were on the lessons regarding the very valuable expressions of dua. Those alfaz, those expressions of dua that are ma'thur عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, that have been reported from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وأخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنها مذنة الإجابة. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم told us about those expressions, that whoever employs it, Allah will answer his dua regarding the matter around which he has made that expression of dua. That was in addition to other issues of shurut wal adab al mutaalliqa bi dua. Ibn al Qayyim also told us issues of the condition, our situation, our circumstance when we make dua, our attention to dua, our making wudu, facing the qibla, and all of these when we make dua. Before, he suggested to us, rahimahullah, and encouraged us to recite particular expressions from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like we said earlier, allati akhbara an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam annaha madhinnatul ijaba. Those expressions the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said to us that they will bi'idhnillah make our dua to be potent and effective if we follow all those manners of making dua, and then we use those expressions the Prophet taught to us sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, very most likely our request will be granted. We mentioned 8 of them. The last one we mentioned in the last class, number 8, was that was reported in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. Others among the scholars of hadith like Al-Imam ibn Hibban and others have reported that hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, ma asaba ahadan qattu, ma asaba ahadan qattu. If you are on the copy on the screen, that occurs on page 22. What we read now, if you employ the copy on the screen, that occurs on page 22 up to page 23. On page 22, it occurs as the last line, but the dua actually occurs on page 23. If you are on the copy employed on the screen, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, ma asaba ahadan qattu hammun wala huznun faqal, there is no ham, there is no disturbing anxiety. Many of the people suffer from very serious moments of anxiety. They are anxious. They are worried over the future. They are worried over the next things that will happen to them. So they suffer anxiety, seizures, and various kinds of anxiety-related mental disturbance. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma asaba ahadan qattu fahamun wala huznun faqal. Likewise, ahzan, sadness of various forms, they happen to people regarding the things they have lost in the past. In the past, someone may lose something to someone, something may happen to somebody, and the rest of that, and he gets into sadness, both sadness and anxiety. Anyone, ma asaba ahadan qattu hammun wala huznun, there is no one who becomes afflicted by anxiety or grief, sadness, faqal. And then such a person says, Allahumma inni abduka ibn abdika ibn amatik, nasiyati biyadik, maadhin fiyya hukmuk, adlun fiyya qadauk, as'aluka Allahumma bikulli ismin huwa lak, sammayta bihi nafsak, أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. Anyone who says this dua, اللهم إني عبدك ابن عبدك. O Allah, I am your servant, the son of your servant, Ibn Amatik. My mother is also your servant. Nasiyati biyadik. My forehead is in your hand. When the forehead of an individual, the frontal part of the head, when it is in the hands of a person who is powerful, the implication is that the control of our lives are in his hands. So when we say now siyati biyadik, what we say is that I am absolutely under your control, O my Lord. Maadhin fiyya hukmuk. Whatever you rule regarding me, your rulings regarding me, they are established. If you rule something for me, they become established. Adlun fiyya qada'uk. When you preordain something on me, you are just, O Allah. You are fair. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your preordainments on me are fair. As'aluka Allahumma bi kulli ismin huwa lak. I now ask you, O Allah, I ask you by all the names that belong to you. Sammayta bihi nafsak. You have called and named yourself by that name. Aw allamtahu ahadan min khalqik. Or you taught that name to any one of your creatures. Aw anzaltahu fi kitabik. Or you have sent down that name of yours in your book, Al-Quran. أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك. Or you have kept the name away from your creatures. It is only known to you. في علم الغيب. In the unknown to us. But it is known to you. سبحانه وتعالى. I ask you by all of these your names. أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلبي. That you make this Quran. This Quran, you make it Al-Quran Al-Azim, and taj'al Al-Quran Al-Azima Rabi'a Qalbi, that you make this honorable book, this book of honor and sublimity that has come from you, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and taj'al Al-Quran Rabi'a Qalbi, a means of soothe for my mind, a means of ease, a means of joy, delight. Something that when I read, I make a lot of benefits of. coolness of the mind and a soothing mind. Wanura Sajri. I beg you to make this Quran the light of my heart. Wajila Ahuzni. Make it a means to remove my sadness. Wazahaba Hammi. Make it this Quran a means to remove my anxieties. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding this dua that ma asaba ahadan qattu hammun wala huznun. No one suffers sadness, no one suffers anxiety or sadness, and then recites this dua illa adhaba Allahu hammahu, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove his anxiety. Wa huznahu. Allah will remove your sadness. Wa abdalahu makanahu faraha. And in its place, Allah will bring faraha. Allah will bring you joy. Allah will bring you happiness and delight. Fakila ya Rasulallah. The Prophet was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ala nata'allamuha. Did we not then commit this into our minds and learn it? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Bala, yes, you should. Yambaghi liman sami'aha an yata'allamaha. It is necessary that anyone sami'aha, who hears about this dua, yambaghi an yata'allamaha. It is necessary, it is appropriate, incumbent for him, an yata'allamaha, to learn it and commit it to mind. We read from the author of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when it was reported that he said, radiyallahu anhu, that ma kuriba nabiyyu min al-anbiya'i illa staghafa bit-tasbih. No one from amongst the prophets of Allah became tried. Ma kuriba. No prophet suffered karb, difficulty, serious difficulty and hardship, illa staghafa bit-tasbih, except that they ask Allah's help, they look for Allah's support, they invoked his help and support, bit-tasbih, employing at-tasbih, subhanallah walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, aw subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, aw la ilaha illallah wahd, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. I was going to talk about the tasbih of Yunus. La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Some of the scholars even say what Ibn Mas'ud said there was in reference to that dua of Yunus. La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. He was reported to have said that ma kuriba nabiyyun min al-anbiya'i illa staghafa bit-tasbih. We came after that, we read a very lengthy story regarding Abu Mi'laq. Wa kana tajiran yattajiru bimalin lahu wa lighayrihi. Who was from amongst the companions, min ashabin nabiyya alayhi salatu wasalam, min al-ansar. It was from the people of Medina. Yukanna Aba Mi'laq. His kunya was Abu Mi'laq. وَكَانَ تَاجِرًا يَتَّجِرُ بِمَالٍ لَهُ وَلِغَيْرِهِ. He was a well-known businessman, a trader. يَتَّجِرُ بِمَالٍ لَهُ. Who was trading with a lot of money that he had. وَلِغَيْرِهِ. The money also belonged to some others. So he had his own money, and money from those he had collected with which he was running his trade. يَدْرِبُ بِهِ. He was going about in the various regions trading with that money. Wakana nasikan wari'a. He was a person of nusuk, ibadah, and he was a person of war'a. abstinence from even things that are halal so as not to get into haram. May Allah protect us. So kana nasikan wari'a. It was a person of worship. It was also a person who was full of abstinence from things that are lawful, unlawful. He was even going to abstain from things that are makruh. He would even abstain from halal so as not to fall into makruh or even haram. So the story went that he met a thief while he was traveling. خرج مرة فلقيه لص مقنع بالسلع. Once he went on his journey for his business and a thief came across him. Very lengthy story we patiently read in the last class. And at the end of it, we said, قال الحسن. الإمام الحسن البصري was reported to have said that فمن توضأ وصلى أربع ركعات. فمن توضأ. What I'm reading now occurs on the page 25 on the copy that we employ on the screen. After reporting the story of Abu Mi'laq, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah reported a narration from al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri that he said, فَمَنْ تَوَضَّعَ. So anyone who makes wudu, وَصَلَّ أَرْبَعَ رَكَعَةٍ, and then he makes four rak'at, وَدَعَ بِهَذَا الدُّعَ اسْتُجِيبَ لَهُ, and then he makes this dua, the dua that Abu Mi'laq was reported to have made. What was that dua? In the rak'at while he made sujood, he made four rak'at, and in his sujood, the last sujood, Abu Mi'laq was reported to have said that, Ya Wadud, Ya Dhal Arsh Al-Majid, Ya Fa'alu Lima Yurid, As'aluka Bi'izzika Alladhi La Yuram, وملكك الذي لا يضام وبنورك الذي ملأ أركان عرشك أن تكفيني شر هذا اللص يا مجيث أغثني يا مجيث أغثني. He did that ثلاث مرات. يا مجيث أغثني. And الحسن البصري said, من anyone who makes wudu and makes four units of prayer, وَدَعَ بِهَذَا الدُّعَى اسْتُجِيبَ لَهُ, and makes dua, calls upon Allah, دَعَ بِهَذَا الدُّعَى. He makes dua employing this expression, اسْتُجِيبَ لَهُ. Allah will grant his dua. His dua will be answered. Makruban kana aw ghayru makrubin, whether he was a person in a difficult circumstance, aw ghayru makrubin, or he was not in a difficult circumstance, as long as he is making dua and he employs this expression, ustujiba lahu, his dua will be answered. We just stopped here in the last class. And we called it a gay because we already spent the time. This report, we said at the beginning, was reported by Al-Imam Ibn Abi Dunya in his book, Mujabu Da'wa. Ibn Abi Dunya was from amongst the first four centuries, the scholars of the first four centuries of Islam. He has a lot of book on a lot of issues. Here he has this book, Mujabu Da'wa. It was a compilation on people that made dua and Allah answered that dua. He was compiling reports regarding duas that were said and how easily they were answered and issues like this. This report, Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani in Silsilatul Ahadith Al-Da'ifa, he mentions that it's a very weak in some expressions. He said, that it has a fabricator in its chain of report. This story of Abu Mi'lak, it has a fabricator in its chain of report. And so it is not authentic at all. It is not a reliable report. So the question we may now ask is, when people get into these kinds of circumstances, what should they do? I recommend two things from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam to you. The first one was expression number 7 in this book of ours. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and it's a report from Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, "Allamani Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam." The Prophet taught me, "Iza nazala bi karbun, iza nazala bi karbun, if any sort of difficulty or adversity, difficult circumstance come upon me, an akul." The Prophet allamani an akul. He taught me to say, "La ilaha illallah al-halimul kareem, subhanallah wa tabarakallahu rabbul arshil azim, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen." You can say this dua. There's the one above it from Abdullah ibn Abbas. "La ilaha illallah al-azimul halim." In that circumstance, Ibn Abbas said, "Anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, كان يقول عند الكرب لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش الكريم لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم." The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, if any difficulty came upon him, he would say, "La ilaha illallahu al-azim al-halim, la ilaha illallahu rabbu al-arsh al-azim, la ilaha illallahu rabbu al-samawati, wa rabbu al-ardi, wa rabbu al-arsh al-karim." Ikhwa, let us learn this dua because it is very efficacious. When a person comes into a difficulty, the lack of which was reported regarding Abu Mi'lak, may Allah protect each and every one of us from that. May Allah protect us all. Say this dua. La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim. La ilaha illallah rabbu al-arsh al-azim. La ilaha illallah rabbu al-samawati wa rabbu al-ardi wa rabbu al-arsh al-karim. This one occurs in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The first one we mentioned regarding Ali ibn Abi Talib, that one occurs in Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. It also occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. They are both authentic. This report of Ali ibn Abi Talib, I mentioned in the last class that Al-Imam ibn Hibban, Al-Imam Hakim al-Nisaburi, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Ahmad Shakir, and others graded this report of Ali as authentic. So either that one by Ibn Abbas in Bukhari and Muslim, or the one from Ali ibn Abi Talib in Musnad Imam Ahmad and in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, they are both authentic. If a person gets into a difficulty, say them. La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim. La ilaha illallah rabbu al-arsh al-azim. La ilaha illallah rabbu al-samawati wa rabbu al-ardi wa rabbu al-arsh al-karim. The second expression, La ilaha illallahu al-halim al-kareem. La ilaha illallahu al-halim al-kareem. Subhanallah wa tabarakallahu rabbul arsh al-azim. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. There is also the dhikr the Prophet taught, Allahumma kfinihim bima shayt. This is the fastest and the easiest. Ikhwa. Allahumma kfinihim bima shayt. O Allah, suffice me against these people in whatever way that you like. Allahumma kfinihim bima shayt. Allahumma kfinihim bima shayt. This one is simple. اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت، اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت، اللهم اكفنيهم، او الله sufficeني against them بما شئت، in the manner that you like with what you like. اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت، اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت، اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت. اخوه، keep this in your mind. When difficult people come in face, or we come in face with difficult people, say this dua: Allah will suffice you against them. Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'it. This one, they have all come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If we look at the copies we have on the screen, the next thing is faslun. He said, wa kathiran ma tajidu ad'iyatan da'a biha qawmun fastujiba lahum ويكون قد اقترن بالدعاء ضرورة صاحبه. This expression in the copy that I have with the tahqiq of Nidal ibn Abdul Karim, it has another statement in it. It said قلتُ. Ibn al-Qayyim said قلتُ. So please note this. Although what I will read now, I've only seen it in this copy of Nidal. I have not seen it in any other copy of this book, Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa. And the copies, printed copies with me, are up to 5. I have not seen it up to 6. I have not seen it in any other copy except in this copy of Nidal. But I would like to read it because we'll find benefit in it. What I want to read now, it only occurs in the copy of Nidal ibn Abdul Karim that I employ, but it's not occurring in other copies. What is responsible? Bismillah, I will come back to 2 possibilities. Why the whole of this passage, say whole passage, does not occur in other copies, but it can occur in some other copies? It can be for 2 reasons. Let me quickly say it. The first reason is that this book was dictated by Ibn al-Qayyim himself, rahimahullah. And then in subsequent generations, people copy from those who wrote down when he dictated the book. You know, things like that, one paragraph, one line, things like that will add a myth. So when a person is, it happens in any class of a dictation, students will write from the teacher what he dictates, imla. And so when they write what he dictates, some may write something, some may skip something, some may think that I'll write it later, some Allahu Alam. And it is possible that it came from those who were transcribing from those who wrote down the dictation. If the first set of students who wrote it were 10, and from them another 100 wrote, for example, from each of them 10 wrote, it is possible that you'll be finding things like this. So that is why when a book is to be brought from the manuscript forms into a printed form, the person who is doing the checking and editing will gather a lot of manuscripts. It's just like you want to write a note in class from your teacher. You miss the lesson. 200 students in the class. Yes, you get the best students. But one way or the other, you still be finding 1 or 2 things in addition, or the teacher may say something while dictating to explain further explanation. One student will think that it is part of the note. The other student will say, no, he was just explaining. So things like that happen in books of scholars like this when they also teach their students. Because in their own times, there were no printing press where books were printed. Students will write from the imla'at, from the imla, from the dictations of their teachers. So you would see how students used to be patient in the olden days. You can imagine students sitting down to write a book that will be dictated by their teacher, and that book is about 400 pages, and they'll be writing it down. Those who wrote it in the subsequent generations, they wrote their own copies with their hands. And that was why in those days there was a job, the job of Nusakh and Nasakh, those whose job is, they are good at writing. So they pick these books and write them and sell them. They are called Nusakh. They pick books, they write copies of the book, and sell to students who are not able to write, or who find writing difficult, or who may not be in the circumstance to be able to write. They want to read the book. They cannot write their own copies. Students used to write their own copies of books in the past. So doing all those kinds of writing from one copy to other, you see some additions, subtractions, addition and subtractions when these things happen. So what I'll read now does not occur in the copy we display on the screen, but it occurs in the copy of Nibal ibn Abdul Karim, Hafizahullah. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, Kultu. Ibn al-Qayyim said, I say, after reporting that report from Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, وَكَذَلِكَ دَعْوَةُ الْعَلَاءِ إِبْنِ الْحَضْرَمِ. He said, likewise, the dua of Al-Ala'u ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami, radiyallahu anhu. Al-Ala'u ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet wanted to send somebody to Bahrain to collect zakah, he sent Al-Ala'u ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami. Prophet wanted to send someone to Bahrain. We know where Bahrain is today. It's in southeast of Saudi Arabia, the areas of Dammam and all that. Bahrain is not so far. So the Prophet sent Al-Ala'u ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami. Al-Ala'u ibn Abdullah, there is a reporter of hadith whose name was Al-Ala'u ibn Abdul Rahman. But this is Al-Ala'u ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami, is a companion, radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sent him to Bahrain to collect zakah. When the Prophet passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was sending him to also collect zakah and supervise the collection and distribution. When Abu Bakr al-Siddiq passed away, Omar radiyallahu anhu sent him to Bahrain. You know, they don't always change whatever the Prophet had established, Abu Bakr and Omar radiyallahu anhu. They would prefer to leave it as it was. So when the Prophet made him collect zakah, they did not remove him from that office to go to Bahrain and bring zakawat. But later, when Al-Ala passed away, it was the job of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, during the time of the later times of Umar and the early times of Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu. So this companion, he had a dua that he always make, allati kana yakhudu biha al-bahra. When he made that dua, Allah makes it possible for him to walk on the surface of the sea. Ikhwa, Al-Ala'u ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami, this companion, he was going for a battle. He led the army. And in between them and their enemies was a river. I'm sure would have heard this report. The enemies removed all the canoes and the boats with which they used to cross the river, so as to prevent the Muslims from coming to their place. Al-Ala'u ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami, radiyallahu anhu, he would say that dua. What is it? Four names of Allah he will call. Ya Azim, Ya Halim, Ya Alim, Ya Ali. What is that? Ya Azim, oh you the Almighty, you are the most mighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Azim, mighty. Ya Halim, oh Allah, you are the one who is absolutely compassionate. Ya Alim, you are the one who is absolutely aware and knowledgeable regarding everything. Ya Ali, you are the one who is far high above all things. He will call Allah by these four names. Ya Azim, Ya Halim, Ya Alim, Ya Ali, these four names. Azim, you are mighty, absolutely. Halim, you are compassionate and merciful. Alim, absolutely knowledgeable. Ali, absolutely high above all his creatures. He is high, sublime, high above them. They are all below Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is high above all his creatures. When he makes this dua, Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَكَذَلِكَ دَعْوَةُ الْعَلَاءِ إِبْنِ الْحَضْرَمِ. Likewise, the dua of al-Ala'u Ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami, allati kana yakhudu biha al-bahra, with which he rode on the ocean, he rode on the sea, wa yastamthiru biha al-qatra, whenever there was drought and dryness, rains were not falling, yastamthiru biha, he begged Allah to send down rain using that dua, wa hiya qawluhu. And that is the expression that Ya Azim, Ya Halim, Ya Alim, Ya Ali, O Azim, O you who is mighty, O you who is compassionate, O you who is absolutely aware of my condition, Ya Ali, O you who is high above all things. He will just say that. Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَقَدْ وَقَعَ مَرَّةً فِي أُذْنِي بَعْضِ أَصْحَابِ الْحَسْنِ الْبَصْرِ حَصَاتٌ قَدْ وَقَعَ مَرَّةً. Ibn al-Qayyim said, once, وَقَعَ فِي أُذْنِي بَعْضِ أَصْحَابِ الْحَسْنِ الْبَصْرِ حَصَاتٌ, a small speck of stone got into the ears of one of the students of Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, a peck specks of stone got into his ears. Fa'aya fi ikhrajiha, he suffered seriously fi ikhrajiha, to remove that stone from the ears. Wa wari malaha wajhuhu wa ra'suhu, so his face and his head, parts of his head, became swollen because of the stone in the ears of that individual. وَوَجَدَ مِنْهَا أَلَمًا عَظِيمًا, you know that will bring a lot of alam, a lot of pain, because the ears got swollen, parts of the head also got swollen, the eyes, the face, because a speck of stone got into his ears. It says, فَعَيَا فِي إِخْرَاجِهَا, they suffered a lot of pain trying to remove the stone. وَوَرِمَ لَهَا وَجْهُهُ وَرَأْسُهُ, so his face and his head generally became very, very swollen up. وَوَجَدَ مِنْهَا أَلَمًا عَظِيمًا, and he suffered serious pain, severe pain, because of it. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ, someone said to that student of Al-Hasan Al-Basri, أَيْنَ أَنْتَ عَنْ دَعْوَةِ الْعَلَاءِ الْحَضْرَمِ, where are you? Are you far away from the dua of Al-Ala ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami? Do you not know that dua of Al-Ala ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami? Faqala, wa ma hiya, say, please teach me that dua. Faqala, ya Halim, ya Alim, ya Ali, ya Azim. He called those four names of Allah. Faqala ha, they went on to recite this dua to the one who was ill. فَخَرَجَتِ الْعَصَاتِ فَخَرَجَتِ الْحَصَاتِ مِنْ أُذُنِهِ وَلَهَا قَنِينٌ حَتَّى ضَرَبَتِ الْحَائِطِ فَخَرَجَتِ الْحَصَاتِ, by Allah's permission, the speck of stone that got into his hair and got stuck, it came out, مِنْ أُذُنِهِ, from his ears. وَلَهَا قَنِينٌ, it came, when it was coming out, it had a sound. It gave a sound. Hatta ضربت الحائط, until it even went out, the wall closed by the person, while the speck of stone was being removed, the stone went to hit the wall. As it came out forcefully with a sound, hitting the wall when it came out. Is just telling us about the efficacy of dua, the importance of dua, and how much we should depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and expressions we can employ In all of these, you see the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the name of an angel, not the name of a jinn, not even the name of the Prophet Muhammad himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read in that hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakuluhu inda al-karb. If a difficulty came upon the Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being. Innama ana basharun mislukum. I'm a human being like you. In a report, he said, Ansa kama tansawun. I forget as human beings forget. In another report, he said, Aghdabu kama taghdabun. I also get angry as you human beings get angry. The Prophet would get hungry too, looking for food to eat. He drank water, he slept, he woke up, he married, he had a wife, he went into market like human beings, as a human being. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So like human beings, he suffered difficulty too, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So it is from the human nature that difficulties come, trials come, for so many reasons, some of which we'll be exploring as we move ahead in this book. So the Prophet himself, when he got into difficulty, he was not calling himself. He was not calling a shehu. He was not calling a jinn. These were the very things he came to obliterate. He came to destroy, invoking any other besides Allah. So the Prophet invoked Allah when he came into difficulty. La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim. لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش الكريم. The Prophet will shout that, عليه الصلاة والسلام. So it is not in place at all that a Muslim gets into a difficulty, he's calling Ya Muhammad, he's calling Ya Hussein, he's calling Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ya Hassan. How can you call Ali? How can you call Hassan? How can you call any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, never called any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, most unfortunately, people call the names of jinn. We've given this example a lot in the past classes. Yarawka ya ilu, ya dawda ya ilu, ya. Some people even call their dead parents, people who cannot hear you. They themselves, they are in need. You are calling someone who is in need. Man la yastajibu lahu ila yawmil qiyamah. Till the day of qiyamah, they cannot answer your call. Wa hum an du'aihim ghafilun. They don't even know that you are calling them. Don't call the dead. Don't call your parents. Don't call a jinn. Don't call a shehu. Who do you call? Allahu Rabbul Alameen. So this is one major thing we should come out from this reading. And I hope that it is clear. Ibn al-Qayyim said here, he said, Kultu. I also say, وَكَذَلِكَ دَعْوَةُ الْعَلَاءِ ibn al-Hadrami. Likewise, the dua of al-Alaa ibn al-Hadrami. الَّتِي كَانَ يَخُوضُ بِهَا الْبَحْرَةِ. That dua that, by which when he said it, Allah gave him the permission to walk on the sea. وَيَسْتَمْتِرُ بِهَا الْقَطْرَةِ. By the permission of Allah, when there is drought, absence of rain. When he calls Allah by that name, Allah sends down rain. وَهِيَ قَوْلُهُ. That is, he's saying that, Ya Azim, Ya Halim, Ya Alim, Ya Ali. See, these are the names he would call, and Allah will send down the rain. Allah, Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, also mentioned this in his book, Al-Furqan bayna awliya ar-Rahman wa awliya ash-Shaytan. He also mentioned this dua of Al-Ala ibn Abdullah al-Hadrami. It was something well known amongst the scholars. Rahimahumullah. Wa hiya qawluhu ya azim, ya halim, ya alim, ya ali. He said, wa qad waqa'a marratan fi udhni ba'di ashabi al-Hasan al-Basri hasat. Once hasat, some specks of stone got into the ears of one of the students of Al-Hasan al-Basri. That was the time of the Tabi'un. Fa'aya fi ikhrajiha. He suffered great, he tried a lot of efforts. Fi ikhrajiha. to bring it out. Wa warima laha wajhuhu wa ra'suhu. His face and his head, warima laha, became swollen. You know, when something foreign gets into a part of the body, it will become swollen and to become very painful. Wa wajada minha alaman azima. Faqala lahu rajulun. So a man said to this person who was ill, Aina anta min da'wati al-ala'i ibn al-hadrami. Where are you? Have you forgotten the dua of al-ala'u al-hadrami? Faqala, he said, wa ma hiya? What was it? Then he taught him, Ya Halim, Ya Alim, Ya Ali, Ya Azim. Faqala ha. This man who was ill, he began to recite this dua. Fakharajat al-hasat, the specks of stone in his ears came out by Allah's permission, min udhunihi, from his ears. Walaha taninun, and it had a sound, in fact, when it came out. Hatta darabat al-ha'it, it came out with that speed. It even got to hit the nearest wall to the person at the time that the process of trying to get it out, employing this dua, was used. So this is an additional to make us understand that dua is very efficacious. Ikhwa, brothers, ummahat, my brothers, dua are very efficacious. Call on to Allah in the times of difficulty and he will answer. And then we can proceed now bi-idhnillah. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, wa kathiran, if you are on the copy that is now employed on the screen. I can see there's a new copy now. I think we should go back to our original copy about Abdul Rahman. Jazakallahu khairan. If you are on the copy we employ on the screen, it is on page 25. It says, wa kathiran ma tajidu ad'iyatan da'a biha qawmun. So many times, tajidu ad'iyatan da'a biha qawmun. You would find a prayer, a specific expression of a dua, da'a biha qawmun, that some people employ to beg Allah, fastujiba lahum, and Allah answered their dua. وَيَكُونُ قَدِ اِقْتَرَنَ بِالدُّعَاءِ دَرُورَةُ صَاحِبِهِ. And it will be that the person who is making that dua, قَدِ اِقْتَرَنَ بِدُعَائِهِ, he had had something coming along that dua. What is that? ضَرُورَةُ صَاحِبِهِ. The difficulty that he is in. One person will use something to beg Allah. For example, in the case of Al-Ala ibn Abdullah al-Hadram, he say, Ya Azim, Ya Halim, Ya Alim, Ya Ali, you saying all this. And you may not be in that condition. Look at that condition of someone who has a speck of dust, a speck of stone inside his ears. Will it be painful or not? That pain coming along that dua is a means of making that dua to be answered. The pain itself, because Allah is Halim, is compassionate with us, is Rahim, Rahman, is very merciful with us. So that pain itself, when it comes with a genuine call and invocation to Allah, Allah will ease the pain. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَكَثِيرًا مَا تَجِدُ أَدْعِيَةً دَعَى بِهَا قَوْمٌ. Please, let's listen to this and pay good attention. Most times, تَجِدُ أَدْعِيَةً دَعَى بِهَا قَوْمٌ, you find some expressions of dua that people used, فَاسْتُجِيبَ لَهُمْ, and their dua, their request was granted. وَيَكُونُ قَدِ اقْتَرَنَ بِالدُّعَاءِ ضَرُورَةُ صَاحِبِهِ. And it would be that it was the pain, the hardship, the difficulties suffered by that person employing that dua, came along with the dua. Wa ikbaluhu ala Allah. He's turning to Allah absolutely. Allah, I don't have anybody to help me except you. Aw hasanatun taqaddamat minhu, or some good deeds that he had done before. He helped somebody one day. He protected somebody one day. He assisted somebody one day. He fed somebody one day. He helped one young boy one day. He helped one woman one day. He helped one man one day. One old man, one, his own parents. He did one thing one day to them. He made them smile when they were sad. He made them happy. His children, his wives. He did one thing to Allah. Taqaddamat minhu. In the past, جعل الله سبحانه وتعالى إجابة دعوته شكرا لحسناته. And Allah will make answering his call that time when he came into a need, shukran, as a means of appreciating that his goodness that he had done in the past. So many times, dua don't just come alone. Dua don't just come alone. They are accompanied with some things. For example, daruratu sahibihi, the difficulty that the person is in. Then ikbaluhu alallah, turning to Allah. Sometimes we come into conditions that we understand that this situation, it is Allah alone that can help us. Nobody else. So you turn to Allah completely and fully. Aw hasanatun taqaddamat minhu, or one good thing, one sadaqah, one goodness, one intervention. You intervened one day when somebody was going to be unjustly punished. You intervened and saved him. You protected him from that oppression. You helped him. Or you separated between two people. Or you reconciled between two people, two friends who became enemies. Or a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, they were in serious trouble. Allah used you to bring them together. In all of these good deeds, so you are now in a trouble. You are now begging Allah. فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ إِجَابَةَ دَعَوَتِهِ شُكْرًا لِحَسَنَتِهِ. Allah now makes answering your call as a means of appreciating, showing gratitude to you over that good thing you have done in the past. How? It can also be that صَدَفَ وَقْتَ الْإِجَابَة, that dua, it came at the time of answering dua. Like those times we had explained, you made that dua at that time. وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ, and things like that. You make a dua, but there are other things connected to that dua. The pain you are suffering, because you sincerely turned to Allah at that time and called on to Allah, and all of these. Or that you had done something before, or even after that dua, you do something. You make dua, you give sadaqah. You make dua, you slaughter a ram. Allah answered this dua. I slaughtered this ram by way of asking for your help. Slaughtering a ram for Allah is lawful. As ibadah, Allah, I slaughtered this ram for you. Help me. Protect me. So he makes the dua and he accompanies it with any one of these things. For ujibat da'awatuhu. And by that, the dua became answered. فَيَظُنُّ الظَّنُّ أَنَّ السِّرَّ فِي لَفْظِ ذَلِكَ الدُّعَى. But the ignorant, the other person who didn't know the condition, الظَّن, he's just thinking, يَظُنُّ, he begins to think that أَنَّ السِّرَّ, that the secret behind that person's dua being answered is فِي لَفْظِ ذَلِكَ الدُّعَى. It's just that expression, يَا حَلِيم, يَا عَلِيم, يَا عَلِي, يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Not just that, there are other things connected to that dua. We should pay attention to this, because every little thing you do, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ, whatever goodness you spend, Allah is well aware of it. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Any good thing you put forward in terms of goodness, you will find it with Allah. هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا, you find it better than the way you gave it. The rewards of it will be bigger than what you think that you have given. And they always come handy when you need help too. Allah provides you help. Did we not remember Khadija radiallahu anha? Even before the message became so large with the Prophet, at the beginning, she was assuring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reminding him that you always do good now. You don't want evil for people. So Allah will not bring evil to you. So all these things contribute to the efficacy and the potency of our dua. For ujibat da'awatuhu. So when someone has so many other things in addition to calling Allah, the dua will be answered. But the other person who is just listening to him, فَيَظُنُّ الظَّنُّ أَنَّ السِّرَّ فِي لَفْظِ ذَلِكَ الدُّعَى, he will think that the secret behind that dua being answered is just that, just the expression that the man employed. فَيَأَخُذُهُ مُجَرَّدًا أَنْ تِلْكَ الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي قَارَنَتْهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الدَّعِي. So he takes that expression that so and so person called Allah with this name. So he takes that expression, مُجَرَّدًا, alone, أَنْ تِلْكَ الْأُمُورِ, away from those other things that make the dua to be potent and efficacious. الَّتِي قَارَنَتْهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الدَّعِي. There were from the things that that person making dua, he did it, the other one did not do it. This one has a lot of goodness connected to his dua. This one is just saying that expression. He may not even be paying attention. He thinks that just say it, his attention may not be there. He may not be in wudu. He may not be facing the Qibla. He may not have sadaqat. No goodness. These other things that come along with the dua. No salat to Allah Nabi at the beginning of the dua. He's just talking. He thinks just that same. Just say it and it will happen. It's a big mistake people make in terms of using expressions of dua. Many other things come along with it. We all should pay attention to those other things too. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا كَمَا إِذَا اسْتَعْمَلَ رَجُلٌ دَوَاءً نَافِعًا فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي. An illustration of this is, إِذَا اسْتَعْمَلَ رَجُلٌ دَوَاءً, a man employs a medicine, paracetamol, نَافِعًا, it is very beneficial, فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي, he took it at the time that he was supposed to take it, عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي, in the manner, appropriate prescription, 2 tablets in the morning, 2 tablets in the afternoon, 2 tablets in the night, and it is paracetamol, very useful for headache. فَانْتَفَعَ بِهِ, and it benefited him. فَظَنَّ غَيْرُهُ أَنَّ اسْتِعْمَالَ هَذَا الدَّوَاءِ بِمُجَرَّدِهِ كَافٍ فِي حُصُولِ الْمَطْلُوبِ. But the other person thinks that, oh, he bought paracetamol, his headache got relieved. So he took 1 tablet, for example, and he's an adult. Maybe he took 1 in the morning, or he just took 1 anytime he had a headache. No regime, no prescription, no 3 times daily, no 2 tablets 3 times daily, no understanding of any circumstance regarding the age, the illness, the weight of the individual vis-a-vis the prescription that the pharmacist will give you or the doctor. He doesn't care. All he knew that the man came, he bought a tablet or he bought a card of paracetamol. So he went, he thought that the paracetamol is taking 1 tablet anytime you like. You will not see the effectiveness of paracetamol. He may even be thinking that the paracetamol is not effective at all. He will not know that he is the one that has not employed the paracetamol in the manner that it should be employed. The same thing. You may be saying, Ya Halim, Ya Alim, Ya Dhal Jalal Wal Ikram, I have not seen the effect. You have not employed it in the manner that when you employed it, you see quick effect. You see potent effect of that dua. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He says, وَهَذَا كَمَا إِذَا اسْتَعْمَلَ رَجُلٌ دَوَاءً. This case I'm explaining is like a situation where a man uses a medicine, nafi'an. That medicine itself is beneficial. Fil waqti alladhi yanbaghi. He took it at the time that he's supposed to take the medicine properly, 2 times a day, 3 times a day, 6 hours, 8 hours, and all of this. He was very faithful to the time. Wa'ala alwajhi alladhi yanbaghi. If he was supposed to take 2 tablets, he did. If he was supposed to take 3 tablets, he did. There are medicines like that. You start with 3 tablets, then 2 tablets, then 1. There are some of that. You start with 4 tablets, then 3 tablets, then 2 tablets. The first one can be 8 hours. The second one after 6 hours. Like that. He was careful with it. فَانْتَفَعَ بِهِ. So he benefited from the medicine. فَظَنَّ غَيْرُهُ. The other man who does not care at all. He thought that أَنَّ اسْتِعْمَالَ هَذَا الدَّوَاءِ بِمُجَرَّدِهِ كَافٍ فِي حُصُولِ الْمَطْلُوبِ. He thought like, just drink the medicine. No be medicine, no be to drink. Drink calm, it's okay. Everything will go. He thought that that is the way to handle it. كَانَ غَالِطًا. This person is making a big mistake. Ibn al-Qayyim said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ, وهذا موضع يغلط فيه كثير من الناس. وهذا موضع يغلط فيه كثير من الناس. This is something about which many of the people make a lot of mistakes. The medicine is there. For example, حبة السوداء. The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, it is شفاء لكل شيء. It is a means of cure for any kind of disease. But people don't care to find out. For each disease, how do I use that habba to sawda? Using the sidr, when there is sihir, we remember sidr, the leaf of sidr, for sihir. How is it used? What is the difference between the dry one and the one that is fresh? How is it used? People don't care. They just go on using it. Why? They say sihir is very effective. Sidr is very effective for sidr. How do you use it? They don't care. So it's like saying paracetamol is effective for headache. You go to the pharmacy, you buy paracetamol, and you take just one tablet whenever that headache disturbs you. You may be harming yourself, not even knowing. And you may not get the effect that you want to get from the medicine. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, wa hadha mawdi'un yaghlatu fihi kathirun min an-nas. This is a circumstance where a lot of people make a lot of mistakes. He said, rahimahullah, let me quickly read this passage. Wa min hadha, he says some from examples like this is qad yattafiqu lil-'abdi du'a'uhu bi-sirar inda qabrin fayujab. A person may find himself in difficult situation. Is so difficult, is in hardship, is in pain, and all his attention is directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he was making that dua, he was near a grave, begging Allah, oh Allah, remove my, I have come to the grave of Shehu so. But he is directing his attention completely to Allah. Not just that, he is in pain, difficulty, all his attention is to Allah, but he's near a grave. He thinks that if he does that near a grave, it is efficacious. It is not efficacious. That one does not make the dua faster. What brought quick response to his dua is the pain he was in and what is directing his full attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he begins to think that what made his dua to be answered was because he came near the grave. If he was in the masjid, that was better for him. If he was in the masjid, that is good for him. But he thought, oh, let me go to the grave. So unfortunately, when people ascribe that his dua was answered, they ascribe it to his being at the grave, rather than thinking that it was because he was in severe pain and he had directed all his attention and intention and mind towards Allah was the reason Allah accepted his dua. Allah granted him ease. But he thinks that it was because he came near a grave. May Allah protect us. So this was what he said in this paragraph. وَمِنْ هَذَا أَنَّهُ قَدْ يَتَّفِكُ لِلْعَبْدِ دُعَاءُهُ بِالْطِرَارِ إِنْدَ قَبْرٍ فَيُجَابُ. It could be, it could coincide for the individual that du'a'uhu bi-tirar inda qabrin fayuja. He makes du'a near a grave and then Allah grants the du'a. Fayazunu al-jahil. The ignorant person thinks that anna sirra li-sahib al-qabri, that the secret behind the answering of that du'a was because of one shehu inside that grave. Walam ya'lam anna sirra. He does not know that the secret behind the answering of that du'a. إِنَّمَا هُوَ لِلْطِرَارِ. Because of the hardship of that individual, he was really in difficulty. وَصِدْقِ الْلِجَاءِ. And the truthfulness of his turning to Allah, truthfully, إِلَى اللَّهِ. وَصِدْقِ الْلِجَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And the true turning to Allah. فَإِذَا حَصَلَ ذَلِكَ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى كَانَ أَفْضَلَ وَأَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. If he had done that in the masjid, that is better for him and most beloved to Allah. But he did that while sitting down behind the grave. The ignorant man thinks that it was because the man was behind the grave. That was why the dua was answered. So it means when we make dua, there are many other things we need to pay attention to. Our condition, our circumstance, what we say, our mind, our attention, And all of these that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has taught to us, we need to put them all together for our dua to be very effective. And then we close all the dua, all the doors that will not make the dua to be effective and potent. We'll come back to that, inshallah, in our class in the subsequent reading about the Rahman. Can we have one or two questions we quickly look at?
Question here is, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. We once told that it is not sunnah to say Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Latif, etc. without specifying a particular dua. Help us to demystify.
If you are employing it for dua ul mas'ala, you employ these names of Allah for dua ul mas'ala, a dua of needing a request. If it is dua uthana, you are, yes, you have something in your mind, but you are just asking Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Razak, Ya Fatah, Ya Halim, Alimni. Because there are takdirat in this dua. That is, there are things that you are not said in it. If you need help, for example, regarding an enemy, and then you are saying, Allahumma kfinihi bima shi'it. Oh Allah, suffice me in the way that you want. In that circumstance, you needed Allah's help. Regarding, for example, in the case of Abu Mu'ilak, regarding a thief who accosted the individual. Type, how about if it was a king oppressing you? You still say, Allahumma kfinihi bima shi'it. So there is always a connection between what we are asking Allah for, whether we are saying that we are asking for it or not. You ask for a child, you are saying, Ya Rab, Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram, oh you, the one who has mighty, you are sublime, Wal Ikram, and you honor those whom you desire, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are full of honor, and you honor whom you desire. If you say, Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram, like he said, Alivu bi Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram, your mind is still connected to that need that you want. Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram. Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram. You say that and you proceed. But when we say, it is not from the Prophet's Sunnah to be saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, just like that, you will not see any hadith where the Prophet went on to say, Ya Allah. Today you see people gathered in mosques, shouting, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Or somebody saying, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif. Just shouting like that. You won't see any one of these. You won't see any one of these. You won't, in the Sunnah of the Prophet or even his companions, just like that. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Somebody can say to you, go and recite Ya Allah 100,000 times. You go and start shouting, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. You will not find something like this. You will not. Oh, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman. You will not find something like this. But that you are making a dua. You say, Ya Dhal Jalal Wal Ikram, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Fatah, Ya Razak. Just like that, passing. But to say, sit down, start making them like that as dua, you will not find it in the Sunnah. I hope that is clear. The dua of Allah himself, it is in the time of his need. He has a need, say, Ya Allah, Ya Halim, Ya Azim, Ya Halim, Ya Azim, Ya Ali. And then he makes his request. Look at the one that the stone got into his ears. You will not find him shouting, Ya Ali, Ya Allah, Ya Alim, Ya Ali, just like that. No. There's a need on the ground. Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Yes. But that they sit down, the way we do it, we know the way our people do it. Go. You sit down, start shouting, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif. How many times? 14,000 times. You will not find things like this. 100,000 times. You will not find things like this. Don't get seated doing that. Instead of doing that, say Salatu ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That one has no limits. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. No problem. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. No problem. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. No problem. But that they sit down, shall start saying, chanting, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, like this, it is not in the Sunnah. I hope that it is clear, Bismillah.
Jazakumullah khair, Ya Shaykh.
Ameen wa Iyak.
Can I read another question?
Yes, read one more question, then we can call it a day from that.
This one reads, can I do sadaqa with sole intention to have my dua answered or prevent evil? Jazakumullah khair.
Yes, you can. It is really, really encouraged. Deliberately making sadaqa to prevent evil. Or deliberately making sadaqa to bring goodness to yourself. Asking Allah, Allah, make this sadaqa, help me, protect me. Yes, that was from the things we just read now. The individual would have done some sadaqat, saying that, oh Allah, I'm making this sadaqa, help me. Oh Allah, I'm helping these children. Make my own children to get help. You can do that. Oh Allah, these children that I'm helping, my own children, they are far away from me. Help me provide them help. So you begin to do good, hoping that by that goodness that you do, from the rewards of it, like Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, Allah would make Fajalallahu ijabata da'awatihi shukran li hasanati. Allah makes the answering of his dua a means of appreciating that individual's goodness. So when you make dua to Allah, will answer your own. You make dua that Allah helps your children, you help them. Why? You also have one goodness you have done before. I hope that it is clear. One of the things by which we can ask goodness from Allah, make tawassul with Allah, is our own good deeds. You did something deliberately for the sake of Allah. You can mention it, Allah, I did this for your sake. So please help me. Allah will help you. This is very common in the books of Sunnah, and there are many instances and incidences. That was why Ibn al-Qayyim said that these things, when they accompany dua, they make the dua to be very, very effective. I hope that it is clear about the Rahman. And can we call it a day today? The time is already fast spent.
As-salamu
alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.